Well, it's interesting to connect the song we sang, God is so good, He's so good to me, in that last phrase in the passage of, now I know God will be good to me. And, you know, we can do a lot of things in God's name, but for our sake. And it's interesting, as you listen to this passage of Scripture, there are probably some things that you went, what? He stole his mother's money, and then he, when she said a curse, I can't believe someone stole my money. And whatever curse she made affected him to the point where he's like, ooh, I guess I better give it back. And he gives it back. And, you know, if you're thinking the Ten Commandments at all, you know, do not steal, you know, honor your father and mother. And then he gives the money back, and she says, praise the Lord, praise Jehovah, that, or Yahweh, that this has happened. And she goes, take 200 and go have an image made. And part in the text in the Hebrew, it's not really sure, as the NIV interprets it, it's have an image made that's overlaid with silver. Or it could be, from the Hebrew, it could be make a wooden idol and then a molten image. So it could be two rather than one. It really doesn't matter. But what he does, he then sets them up in a shrine that he has in his house with other gods. You go, okay. And then he appoints his son as the priest over this shrine. And then in somehow, some way, he comes along a Levite and he goes, this will be better. If it's not my son who's the priest over my shrine of devotion to the gods, then I've got a Levite. And I would just imagine, you know, for us, we might hear all these different things that just, well, this just doesn't seem right. you don't steal from your parents. He came clean. Well, you don't set up shrines in your home with dedications to not just one God, Yahweh, of your people, but you set up all these different gods from the other peoples around you too, so that you making sure you're covering all your bases. But I wonder if in this time in the land of Israel, if Michael would have went to his friends and said, guess what? I've got a new idol. And, you know, not only do I have a new idol to put within my shrines, you guys aren't going to believe this. I have an actual Levite as my priest. And I wonder if the neighbors would have said, that's great. You have a Levite, a real flesh and blood Levite, the Levites who are supposed to, the only ones to offer sacrifice to God. You have one doing that in your shrine. And I just wonder if the people would have been happy for him. Seems kind of odd, doesn't it? But basically, we just kind of become what we're surrounded by, right? So there might be people who are looking at his circumstance and going, yeah, he is blessed by God. Look at this. And here's the evidence for it. So it's easy to see that when we're really not connected to what God has called us to and understanding how to find our way, that it can easily degenerate into, how can I seek the best advantage for me now? Well, if you talk to people on the street, what kind of advantages are people looking for in our world today? Financial advantage. Because if we have a financial advantage, then what comes along with that? Security. I heard someone else say something. Power, what?
Relationships.
We mean relationships.
If I can maneuver certain people in my life that can impact me and help build me up, I'm a better person for it. So I think I'm...
Okay, so I could either...
advantage of their qualities.
Bringing their qualities to you to kind of bolster you. Well, look at my friends, you know. Look at the people I hang around with. And because I can hang around them and they want to hang around me, that must mean that I'm a whole lot better than you because they don't like you. But when we're looking for an advantage, one of the things we try to do, we try to manipulate our surroundings. So how do we go about trying to manipulate the world to fulfill our purpose? Or maybe we're doing it and we don't even realize.
You build your castle.
What's that mean, Mary?
You live where you think is prestigious. You surround yourself with people that are going to stoke your ego. You make sure your kingdom is safe, secure, and what you really want it to be.
So kind of what I'm hearing from that is, in our world today, we try to represent our world in a way that people would be envious of us. Because people can go on the internet and look at things other people have that they're saying, well, look at my life, look at my relationships, look at my stuff, and don't you wish you were me? And a lot of people sit and go, yeah, you've been blessed. But what's the long-term goal, right? So we can accumulate things and present ourselves in a way, and really, it could be a blessing from God because God blessed a lot of people with a lot of stuff, right? And the blessings that come from heaven, James says, are from God. So we shouldn't just poo-poo blessings. He wants us to enjoy the blessings he's given us, but keep them in their proper place and honor him as the giver of all good things. But some of the times what we try to do to manipulate the world around us, we could try to use power, physical force, manipulation, lying. We could use superstition and magic. You know, making sure you do things the right way because if you do it this way, then magically then this will happen. Or, you know, when we were kids, make sure you don't step on the cracks. You don't step on cracks in the sidewalk. Why? You'll break your mother's back, and you don't want to do that if you and mom are getting along. If you're not, you might want to gimper a little bit so she can't catch you. I mean, that's kind of the way it would be, you know, when you're in trouble. It's like, I don't want her to catch me. Sorry, Mom. Because Mom is watching, I hope you know Mom's watching. But we try to find this advantage in any ways we can, and sometimes we use very strange things to do that. I mean, sometimes in sports, there's superstitions that you don't walk on the line as you're going out on the field, or you wear the same socks, or, you know, different types of things to try to manipulate the world so that more blessings come to us than curses. But that's not necessarily how the world works. And to kind of just prod your interest in our next class coming up next quarter, and some of the preaching that I'll be doing is going to be out of Ecclesiastes, and it takes a different tact. Well, how does this world work? And we're always trying to find that advantage. I do a grief support group on Saturdays for people who've lost loved ones to overdose. And one of the moms yesterday was talking about how she's just very frustrated with some of the people that her son ended up hanging around with. And she says he didn't really hang around with them much, only so that he could get his drug. And she started to list off the things that these people do. That's, they go in and they steal stuff from stores, and then they take it back to the stores to try to get the refunds for it. And if they can't get the refunds for it, they go out into the parking lot and then sell the stuff. And then they pocket all the money. Or they break into houses and they steal the copper. and they sell it. And I mean, just nefarious things that we would say, why are you hurting others for your sake? And then they sell her son drugs that have fentanyl in it, and he takes it and he dies. And he had Narcan in his pocket. They would have just taken it out of his pocket. He might still be here, maybe. But then, why do people take the drugs? It's because maybe times are hard in their life, things are tough, and I just want an advantage, I just want an escape. And we can do so many different things to try to find our way in a world that's just sometimes frustrating, sometimes painful, sometimes overwhelming. And we see in Micah this self-determination of, I'm going to set up my life so that it benefits me to the utmost. And who doesn't want to do that? We all want that. But what I want you to hear in this passage is, you can do that in a good way, or you could do it in a bad way. So here, his mother is praising Yahweh, the name of God for the Israelites, but she's paying to have an image made that breaks the first couple commandments. Love the Lord your God only. No other gods before me, no images. And part of that's because they forgot that they are the image of God on earth. And the challenge that comes from that is we try to figure out how to find my way, how to find my advantage, can oftentimes come at the loss of someone else. Or could it be, as we'll see in Christ, that the advantage is something totally different? So one of the things we see in the difference between the people of Israel when God tells them this is the law, or as they're in Deuteronomy, they're going into the promised land, the land flowing of milk and honey, the place that he wants to bless them with, and then how it's denigrated down into Judges. So it says, all cult sites, places of worship, high places that were there, God said in Deuteronomy, destroy those high places, because the tabernacle is where you come to meet me, and where we interchange in our relationship. And when you have sin, it's at the tabernacle where that sin is taken away. This is where I live. Don't decide that's too far away, so I'll set something up here so I don't have to travel so far, making it easier for us. But what we see in Micah is he constructs his own cult site. We see that we're told, tear down all the idols, because there is nothing that man can make that represents the God who made everything and who made man. He says, don't do that. Remember that you were dirt, and I breathed into you, and I formed you, and you I have given my likeness. You are my image on this earth. You don't need anything more. So honor one another as image bearers of me. But instead, Micah goes and has one manufactured and sets it up with the rest. There's one central shrine, the tabernacle. Destroy all those other places. And it's totally endorsed that this is where I will be. But then we see in Micah's case, you can find God anywhere. Which is true. Because he even told the Israelites, you cannot confine me to a building. But that doesn't mean that I can build anything and say God's there too, making me the determiner for God of what he desires. And in verse 6, it's doing what's right in your own eyes is prohibited in Deuteronomy. Because when you do what's right in your own eyes, then God doesn't matter anymore. And God's way doesn't matter anymore. And how God says it's put together and will work for you loses its meaning. Because we know better than God, the one who made it and how it works. But we see it being practiced by Micah and the others around him. Support of the Levites. Well, it's supposed to be at the central shrine. It's supposed to be at the tabernacle, not in a private home. So people think that whatever they do is right. But the Lord judges the reason for everything they do. So we have to be careful, because it would be easy to just say, yeah, I know God, I love God, and so did they, and why can't I just decide what's going to be easy for me to worship and love God, and he should accept that because I'm just loving God. I'm just honoring God. But are we also honoring and loving other things just like we honor and love God, that God is just one of many, not one over all? So we have to be very careful not to be like Micah. And Jesus said that we can't serve two masters, and he's talking about God and money, but man, just pull money out and think about what else you could honor relationship over God. There's times when he says, you might love your family more than you love me, and he says, that's not going to work. Hopefully you will love me first, and then because you love me first, you'll love your family like you love me. That's perfect. Jesus says, you've sent to John, and he's testified about the truth. Not that I accept human testimony, but I mention this so that you may be saved. John was a lamp who burned and gave light, and you chose for a time to enjoy his light. For a time? Is it you stopped enjoying his light when it got a little hot? Because there's some times when if you got a little close to John, you could get burnt. And for good reason, because he was preaching the word of God that was there to refine. And you can't refine a metal without it getting heated up, can you? And those impurities being burnt away. You chose for a time to enjoy his light. But I have testimony that's weightier than that of John. Who? Well, that means that might hurt a little more. It might be more costly to me. I might have to give some things up that I don't want to give up. And he says, you're right. But it might be for your best interest, for your long-term advantage. For the works that the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I am doing testify that the Father has sent me. He says, I'm not speaking on my behalf. I'm representing God. I'm the image of God. The most satisfying resemblance of what God is how he loves people. That even though you don't want him in your life, he's going to do what it takes to say he wants you in his. He's pursuing you. And the Father who sent me has himself testified concerning me. You've never heard his voice, nor seen his form, nor did his words dwell in you, for you don't even believe the one he sent. And I hear this not in, you don't believe the one he sent. I hear it more in an ache of, oh, I just wish you could believe the one he sent. Because the ones he's talking to are the ones he's dying for. He came to his own, but his own didn't receive him. And when you love that relationship and when you want the best for someone and you see that they're hurting themselves, man, you ache for that. Sometimes it might come off in force. Just stop doing that. But doesn't that come from the ache of, man, I just see you're destroying your life and I don't want that for you. You study the scriptures diligently. It's a good thing. And you think that by the scriptures you have eternal life. But these are the scriptures that testify about me. But you refuse to come to me and have life. So the words you need in your ears, the words you need in your heart, are the things that are going to give you the advantage that you're looking for. It's going to cost you something, but it's going to cost something that's not going to last for eternity. But if you hold on to the things that are temporal and sacrifice the things that are eternal, then the blessing that you're receiving now is one day going to be gone. But Jesus says, I'm a blessing for you that will last beyond this world. He says, I don't accept the glory of human beings, but I know you. I know that you have the love of God in your heart. Don't you hear the ache? He says, you're studying the scriptures. The scriptures talk about me, and you just can't see that I'm the one who's come to save you, to give you true life, true advantage for your life. I've come in my Father's name, and you don't accept me. But if someone comes in their own name, you'll accept him. How can you believe, since you've accepted glory from one another, but don't seek the glory for the one who comes from the only God? Isn't it interesting? We want glory, but we're seeking glorification from people who can't really glorify us or really know us like God knows us. But do not think that I accuse you before my Father. Your accuser is Moses, whom your hopes are set on. If you believe Moses, you'd believe me. For he wrote about me. But since you don't believe what Moses wrote, how are you going to believe what I say? And why is that so important, to believe what he says? Because that's the foundation, the source of blessing and glory and hope and advantage, and how to live well in a world that's broken, and how to be a light for people who are in darkness. And Jesus has come to reveal this glory so that we can share this glory. You know, I ask, well, why do you break the commandments for the sake of your traditions? That's why you can't accept me, because I'm not fitting your mold. Because you've set up a way, you've set up your advantages, but those are disadvantages because they keep you from me. They keep you from the God that you're trying to get close to. And you don't see it. God says, honor your father and mother, and whoever curses their father or mother should be put to death. But you say that if anyone declares that what they might have used to help their father or mother is devoted to God, then you dishonor your mother and father. Thus you nullify the words of God for the sake of your tradition. Well, I want to use this money for myself. I'm going to say it's dedicated to God. I don't want to help out mom and dad who are in need, even though they took care of me all those years. You see the heart there? He says these people, just like with their parents, they honor them with their lips, but really their heart is far from me. Their heart is focused inward. They worship me in vain. Their worship of me is pointless. It's kind of like Micah. He's got all these things set up, but what are they doing for him? Even though he thinks he's got an advantage now, he has created more of a disadvantage because he's doing it his way, not God's way. And their teaching is just merely human rules. Back in the time of Amos, you know, God set up the system. He says, you know, I hate and despise your religious festivals. Your assemblies, they're a stench to me. And what's going on here is people who are giving platitudes. I really love you, God. I'm really devoted to you, God. Is it time to go yet? I've got other things to do. Even though you bring me burnt offerings and grain offerings, I won't accept them. Though you bring choice fellowship offerings, I have no regard for them. because they're just manipulating God for the advantage that they think God will give them if they do the right thing the right way, even though their heart isn't in the relationship. And don't you know when someone's heart's not in the relationship? And they give you these platitudes? That's even worse. And Jesus even says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven. And look at what these people are doing. They said, Lord, but we prophesied. But Lord, we drove out demons. We performed miracles. How can we not be the ones you love? He says, you claim that you know me, but I'm telling you right now, I don't know you. Just away from me, because your doing is evil. Because your doing is about yourself. You're using this giftedness from God to focus the glory on you and not the God who gave you the glory. So that you point people to me because I can save them. You can't. And you claim to know me, but I don't know you. So we're trying to find our way in this crazy, weird world that we're just thrown into. Didn't ask to be here. But God says, I know you didn't ask to be here, but I want you to be with me. That's why you're here. That's God's goal. And he says, because of that, I want to share my advantage with you. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to me or to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, then you'll know my Father as well. Because Jesus is God in the flesh. How humanity can do it well with advantage. Because the glory isn't about self-glorification. It's about God's glorification. And aren't you glad that Jesus decided not to be selfish and to be selfless so that you could know that you can live well now, that God loves you deeply now, and that when this life is over and you're striving to honor him with this life that you didn't ask for, that he gave you, that on that day that you go dark in this world, that you know that the light of God will shine in your heart. And just like Jesus was raised from death, you will be too. Because just as we didn't give ourselves life, we can't give ourselves eternal life either. We need somebody else to do it. And God longs to do it. So the plea that Jesus gives is the same for us today. As Jesus calls the crowd to himself, he says, any one of you who want to be my followers must stop thinking about yourselves and what you want. What he's saying there is stop creating false idols. Things that will satisfy you for a moment but won't last. You must be willing to carry the cross that is given to you for following me. Because there is a burden in following Jesus. We're told it's not easy because some people will hate that we're doing it, thinking we're pointing fingers at them, thinking we're saying we're better than them when we're thinking, no, I'm no better than you. I'm just different in a different relationship with God. It doesn't make me better than you. I'm still like you. I'm still human. I still struggle. But the gift that he's given me because I want to struggle with him and I glory in what he's done for me, I have a different hope. That's the only way we're different. I'm not better. I just have a better destiny. And any of you who try to save your life. You'll lose it. Because you can't give yourself life. You never have. And the life that you're trying to give yourself isn't fully living. But you will give up your life for me. And for the good news, you will save your life. It's worth nothing to you to have the whole world if you yourselves are lost. You could never pay enough to buy back your life. People today are so sinful. They've not been faithful to God. And as you live among them, don't be ashamed of me and my teaching. If that happens, I'll be ashamed of you when I come in my glory, the glory of my Father and of the holy angels, the glory that he's trying to share with us. So we have to ask ourselves, what benefit is a self-determined spiritual life really getting you? I think this passage of scripture that in Judges is a lot like our world today. People are seeking what's right in their own eyes. And they have every right to do it, and God gives everybody the right to seek that and do that. But what Jesus comes to tell us, that when you do that, don't expect that you'll get my glory, my blessing, when you don't want to have anything to do with me. Because my blessing and not my glory comes because of me. And you will share in that because you're so thankful for me. So we strive every day to put our feet on the floor and in the morning say, God, help me live well today, to reflect your glory in a world who needs you desperately. Help me not to be like Micah, who just all of a sudden starts being like everybody else and thinking you're okay with that. Help me to honor you. Help me to love you as you have loved me. And today being Valentine's Day and it all about love, love is seeking and doing good for the loved one. And Jesus has done that for us. And he calls us to represent him in a world to do the same for others. Loving others as Christ has loved us. Is it hard? Oh, you betcha. Because I always have in me the desire to please me. But I have to realize the only way I can really be pleased is by letting God do it for me. And honoring him in the life he's blessed me with. This is our challenge. This is our call. You need the prayers of the church. We're here for you to do that. But never forget that Jesus on the cross was for your advantage, not his. And his coming out of the tomb was for his and ours to prove that once this life is over, it's not done yet. Let's stand and give God glory.